what to do when you don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Help. Have you ever been there? You say, Pastor, I'm there now. Amen. Oh, sure. We're looking at someone here. If you look at your Bible, it says a Psalm of David. David had been there many, many, many times. He fled from King Saul, who wanted to and tried to kill David for no good reason. You remember the story, God had literally picked Saul, He'd chosen Saul, the Bible said he was head and shoulders above his brethren. But he was somebody that, if we could characterize Saul, Saul was about incomplete obedience. He'd do the right thing, but not the right way. He'd do some of what God said, but not all of what God said. That's why, again, I say this without apology, and I have a 2-year-old, so I'm doing it, amen. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that we teach our children to obey what we say and when we say it. Listen, I've got a 2-year-old, and I say, come to Daddy. And he stands there with that smile. And I say, come to Daddy. By the way, whoever phone that is, tell him I'm not available right now. Amen. I heard somebody say one time, he said, God may call you in the service, but he won't do it on your phone, so turn it off. Amen. I understand. By the way, mine's off. I hope it is. Is yours off, honey? Amen. No, David here, David is that one that because of Saul's disobedience, God chose David. And I love the story of the choosing of David. Because old Samuel comes around and he looks at all the brothers of David and said, oh, it's got to be the firstborn. He said, no. Well, it's got to be number 2 in line. And he goes down and David's the 8th. And God says, look not on his countenance, nor the height of his stature. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And David was that one in Acts 13:22 that it was said that he was a man after God's own heart. But here, he's fled many times in his life. Not only did he flee from Saul, and then you remember the story, of course, he killed Goliath. And then the lady singers of the court said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000. That green-eyed monster got a hold of Saul. Jealousy. He got jealous. And by the way, don't get jealous when God blesses people. Don't do that. You just ought to be happy God's blessing them. We're like that, though, in our Christian life. Well, why come God's not blessing me like that? And this, listen, fooey on that. If God's blessing you, listen, I'm in your corner. I want to take that blanket and fan your flame for God if He's blessing you. But Saul wasn't like that. He called David into the court and threw a javelin at him. Amen. And old David went, and I'm out of here. Amen. He went out and he did it again. David finally ascends to the throne. Saul, taken over by an evil spirit from God. Amen. And literally he falls on his own sword and David ascends to the throne. Well, then no sooner does David get to the throne and he messes up with Bathsheba and all that happens there with Amnon and Tamar. But his son Absalom gets so bitter because David does not discipline Amnon that Absalom takes matters into his own hands, kills Amnon, and then David does not speak to him for quite some time. And by the way, lesson number 1 about conflict resolution, the silent treatment does not work from the Scriptures. Amen? David said, I'm just going to leave him alone. Well, Absalom rose up and he stood in the gate of the city and said, hey, listen, come to me if you want judgment. Come to me. And he literally usurped the kingdom from David. And David was on the run again from Absalom. He literally stole the heart of the people, the Bible says. He took the kingdom from him. And he had often been perplexed by a couple things we see in our chapter. By the way, there are 3 perplexing psalms. If you want to read them, you can read them on your own time. Psalm 37 is one. Psalm 49 is another one. Psalm 73. They're psalms where the writer is perplexed. And there's a couple things that perplex this writer. The prosperity of the wicked is perplexing to the psalmist. And isn't it to us, ladies and gentlemen? We see the wicked prospering. Isn't it discouraging? Isn't it discouraging that pornography companies make billions of dollars, while that so many times guys that are trying to plant churches, they end up closing up shop in a year because there's just no money for it? It's perplexing, amen? The prosperity of the wicked, but also the adversity of the righteous. The fact that the righteous have so many battles and so many difficulties as they go along. But if you look at verses 9 through 11, God answers those. Both the prosperity of the wicked and the adversity of the righteous. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Listen, I know they're partying right now. But listen, just like Belshazzar of old, there's a handwriting on the wall, Brother Becker. Meeny, meeny, tickle you, Farson. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. That, this and that, the sand of their time is running out. It's running out, God says here. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Verse 10. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What to do when you don't know what to do? The words fret not are mentioned in three verses. Look at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Look down at verse 7, right in the middle of the verse. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. And then in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I don't know about you, but me in my flesh, I have a tendency to fret. To get upset. To think that, if we could say it this way, that God took a coffee break. God walked off His throne for a little bit. And what's going on here? Well, why is this happening? Why is that happening? I think we're fretters by nature. It's a synonym for the word worry. Now listen, I know you folks don't worry. You're just concerned. Amen? I'm just concerned. That's a synonym for worry. Amen? We can see it in the furrows of your brow. Amen? Fretting or worrying does not empty tomorrow of its troubles, but it does rob today of its strength, H.G. Bosch said. What to do when you don't know what to do? Pastor, I'm at a point in my life where I don't know what to do. What have you got for me tonight? Well, let me see what the text says. If you could look at verse number 3. The first thing to do when you don't know what to do, look at verse number 3. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Point number 1 is when you don't know what to do is trust in the Lord. Trust is the opposite of fretting. Trusting is the opposite of worrying. We mentioned the chair a couple weeks ago and the idea of especially if believing. Yes, I believe that this is a chair. It's made of wood. It looks like it can hold me. I believe it. But this says, I really believe it. Amen? Listen, fretting is doing this. I don't know if this chair could hold me, so I'm going to sit like this. Yeah, in about 5 minutes, my back is going to wrench up and this swollen hornet wound is going to start sticking out like this. Amen. Or I could just trust that this chair is going to hold me. And I'm not worried about it at all. Ladies and gentlemen, when we fret, when we're at our wit's end and we don't know what to do, you know what we need to do? We need to trust in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, He is our Heavenly Father. Can I say it this way? If you're here today and you're not saved, you know what you need to trust in Him? As your personal Savior. Your personal Savior. That's first and foremost. You need to make Him your Savior. But then secondly, we need to trust Him as our perfect provider. Trust Him as our perfect provider. I love Matthew chapter 6. Here's Jesus, and he's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, of course, He knows that our tendency is to worry. And so as He is that master illustrator, He looks out, Brother Curry, and He says, you see those birds out there? He says, they don't worry at all. And the Heavenly Father feeds every one of them. But then Jesus puts the application on, doesn't He? He says, aren't you a whole lot better than birds in God's eyes? Amen? He said, hey, you see those flowers over there? You see that grass of the field and how beautiful it is and how God nurtures it and enriches it and in the morning it's all filled with dew and then by the afternoon it's cut down. He said, if God will so clothe the lilies of the field, which are today and aren't tomorrow, don't you think He could provide for you and give you clothes and a home? And then he sums it all up with this. At the end of Matthew chapter 6, he sums it all up. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They say, what do you mean? Putting God first is trusting God. Amen? We've mentioned Sacrifice Sunday. Listen, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give a sacrifice to God because He's worthy of a sacrifice and leave the rest to Him. Amen? I'm not talking about being foolish. Those of you who know me, I don't go for those kind of things that you ought to give your house payment to God and then watch Him give it back. You know, He gave you your house payment to make your house payment, and all God's people said, don't be foolish. But listen, there's the idea of this sacrifice. Listen, when I give to the Lord, it's trusting God. You know why? Because He said to. And so we trust His Word. Trust in the Lord. When you don't know what to do, trust in the Lord. Believing what He said in His Word. We mentioned it before. Shall or shalt 36 times in this chapter. So what do, Pastor? Trust in the Lord. Something else, verse 4, number 2. Not only trust in the Lord, but look at verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Not only trust in the Lord, but delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. By the way, the first way to delight in the Lord is to delight in His Word. Do you have a time each day where you break open the bread of life and say, God, give me some food for my soul? Oh, I understand we live in busy times. I was, for 36 hours, I found out what you mothers go through. As my wife was up there enjoying the zip line at Camp Koviak, amen. I had, you know, one was on this arm and one was crying and there was a diaper here and, it was great. I was coming out for soul winning on Saturday and I went up real quick to change my clothes because that's how parents with small children do things, real quick. Amen. And so I went up real quick to change my clothes and I heard Eric downstairs and I heard this. And I didn't hear anything. And then I hear. And I said, back about the third time, Brother Merrill, I said, uh-oh. This is not good. Something's going on. I came downstairs and there was Luke, two arms deep in the toilet. With an entire roll of toilet paper, some on him, some on the side of the toilet, which my wife was so kind to tell me is still there. I said, I did the best I could, honey. Some just all over the floor. And here I am, I'm getting ready to go soul winning. I said, this is not good. So I understand that we live in busy time, and I understand there's so many distractions in our lives. But ladies and gentlemen, you always have time for the things that are important to you. Listen, if you wanted to watch a football game yesterday or today, and I don't begrudge you that, I fell asleep to a great Lions game today. Amen? It's just the blessing. I don't begrudge you those things, but here's what we have to ask ourselves. If we're at the point where we don't know what to do, we need to delight in His Word. And we have to ask ourselves, am I really delighting in His Word? Is there a time every day that I say, God, I need something today? When you're like that, you're delighting in His Word. Something else, not only trusting in the Lord, delighting in the Lord, in His Word, but also in His will. See, as you read the Word of God, we begin to understand the will of God for our lives. And may we that are at the point where we don't know what to do, may we just delight in the Lord's will and not necessarily our own will. By the way, those two things aren't always mutually exclusive. Sometimes God, according to this verse, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. What is that? Well, when you delight in His Word and in His will, His desires become your desires. Amen? Delight in His Word, delight in His will, delight in His work. I'm so glad to be part of a busy church. I really am. Some of you, you're part of everything around here. I mean, if we have something going on, you are part of it. I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for that. Really, because when you get to that point that you don't know what to do, you trust in the Lord. You delight in the Lord. You delight in His Word, and in His will, and in His work. And when you absolutely delight in the Lord's Word, will, and work, then you can claim Psalms 37:4b, which we just quoted. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Number three, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord. Look at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. Can I say this? First of all, that involves surrender. Surrender. One of the reasons why I encourage people to come to an old-fashioned altar is the altar is the place where man bows before God in surrender. And can I tell you, some of the greatest decisions that I ever made in my life were at the old-fashioned altar where God got a hold of my heart in the service and I said, God, okay, I'm surrendering it. I'm giving this to You. Many times initially when I first got saved, it was the idea of a sinful habit. Okay, God, this drinking thing, it's Yours. I'm not going to do it. It's Yours. You can have it. God, You can have this music, this ungodly music. God, You can have this and that and this and that. And it all boiled down to this, Brother Jenkins. What he said is, all that's great and I'll take it all. But what I really want is You. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, Romans 12:1 says. When you don't know what to do, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way unto Him through surrender. Could we say this? Involve Him in your decisions. As you make decisions, important decisions in your life, involve the Lord. Ask Him to give you wisdom. Involve Him in saying, Lord, I want to do Your will. I want to commit my way unto You. Tell me, help me, show me through Your Word and through circumstances if this is the right decision. He'll do it. He'll do it. Oh, sometimes it's not as clear as we'd like. I understand that. But He will if you commit your way unto Him. We mentioned not only surrender and involve Him in your decisions, present your body a living sacrifice. Be committed unto the Lord. What we need is not some Christians that are committed, but we need some Christians to become committed. Amen? We need some Christians to become committed. To commit your way unto the Lord. Let me give you point number four. Not only trust in the Lord and delight in the Lord, commit your way unto the Lord, but rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him, the Bible says. I remember at our home church, I remember when we went through what we went through with our pastor, and most of you have heard the story. Our pastor's son was killed at 18 years old in an auto wreck. And I'm just looking forward to having him here. He's such a blessing. And we didn't understand it, and we still don't understand it. When God does something like that, He doesn't ask us to understand it. He just asks us to trust Him. Amen. To know He's good. Amen. He never makes a mistake. Amen. And so I remember we went through that, and our church grieved as a church. Whenever you lose a child in the church, the whole church grieves, and particularly this young man was a soul winner and a godly young man and a great example not only to young people but also the older people. He was a great challenge to folks. And so I remember we went through that, and it was about a year and a half later that our pastor came and he said, We just feel it's the Lord's will that we would move on. Now, folks, that's always difficult when a pastor says that, but it is extremely difficult when it's a founding pastor. Pastor Tharp started that church in Holyoke at 22 years old. He was out there just banging doors and preaching to people three times his age, and just built a great work out there. And he came and he said, we can't do it. And I remember we began to go through the process of candidating for replacement to Pastor Tharp. And I knew God wanted me to be a pastor. And so I put my name in and my resume in, and we came before the church. And of course, the church knew us as well as anyone. And we went through the whole process of coming and answering all the questions and doing all this and that. And we preached in the morning and we preached at night, and the vote was taken at night. And we never found out exactly what the total was, but Carrie and I didn't think it was right for us to vote. Because we're not going to vote for ourselves, amen. We didn't. I was told it was very close, but it was a no vote. It was a no vote. And I didn't understand it at the time. I could say this, I was not despairing, but I was a bit disheartened. I thought, man, why doesn't my own church want me to be a pastor? And then literally that night, as I had my personal devotions, it was Psalm chapter 37, verse 7. My own personal devotions. And I said, Lord, I need something from you tonight. And he said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And when I think of the fact that I'm the pastor today of Loomis Park Baptist Church, I think I wouldn't have been if I didn't rest in him. If I said, well, if my church doesn't want me, forget this ministry business. I'm out of here. I'm going to go, sell cars or paint bridges or whatever. No, no, no. You know what God wants us to do? Here's the key, is when we're trusting in Him and we're delighting in Him, we're committing our way unto Him, then it's easy to rest in Him. Because resting is trusting. If you go back to point one. I love it. I don't know how you folks feel about it, but I love it when our little children fall asleep on us. Even they drool. Amen. And daddy's got to take his suit to the cleaners and all. But I love it when they just fall asleep. They just come over to you. And I like especially the two-year-old. He'll be jabbering. Eric will just be, do this. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And I think, you know what that is? That's perfect rest. Because he trusts daddy or mommy. Amen. You know what we need? We need to just rest in the Lord. You know the verses. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, that beautiful invitation that Jesus has there. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Praise the Lord. Rest in the Lord. When you don't know what to do. Rest in His promises. Rest in His promises. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them are the called according to His purpose. We can rest in the Lord. We need to rest in the Lord when we don't know what to do. We need to commit our way unto the Lord when we don't know what to do. We need to delight in the Lord when we don't know what to do. We need to trust in the Lord. And then lastly, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Again, I hate to keep using Eric as an illustration, but one of the words Eric doesn't like very much is wait. I want some cheese. Wait. I want cheese. I want cheese. I want cheese. I want cheese. Cheese, 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 cheese. I want cheese. I want cheese. Wait. You know who else doesn't like waiting? And I wonder where Eric gets it from. I'm going to tell you right now, it's me is who it is. Faked y'all out on that one, amen? There's a reason why Eric is impatient. His daddy's impatient. Listen, we're all impatient in all God's people said. That's why we eat fast food, amen? Because we like it fast and go, and we got places to go. Hey, listen, folks, you know what we need to do? Bible says we need to wait on the Lord. Wait. And by the way, waiting isn't just standing there with your arms folded. We're to wait actively. We're to keep doing what we know is right as we wait. And then you know what else? We're not only to wait actively, we're to wait patiently. Patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. No. That's not the way it works. By the way, when you pray for patience, don't be surprised if some trials come your way. And all God's people said, sure, because tribulation worketh patience. We're to wait actively and wait patiently. We're to wait quietly. Just quietly waiting on the Lord. We're to wait expectantly. That is literally expecting God to help us. Listen, does God want us to go through life, our whole life, saying, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do? No, 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 no. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants to be our gentle shepherd. He wants to, like the Word of God says, be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And by the way, that wasn't a gigantic spotlight. It was shining on the next step. That lamp that you could see. Ooh, watch out, there's a hole there. Okay, watch it. That's what God's talking about, giving us guidance, giving us direction. We need to wait. Wait expectantly, knowing that God is going to give us direction. Then lastly, waiting courageously. Waiting takes courage. It takes courage. You know, in war, as soldiers are planted in their positions waiting for the enemy to come, you know what happens if they move too soon? The mission is completely in danger. It may fail. So they have to wait. 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 And it takes courage to wait. Any fool can bowl ahead of God. And we see that in the Old Testament. How many times when they went up to Ai and God said, well, no, you probably ought not to go up there. And what are they? Oh, we've won every battle so far. We can win this one too. 36 men died. We know why, because there was sin in the camp. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are times to just simply wait on the Lord. Just wait. I know we don't like it. I'm just like my 2-year-old. I don't like waiting. But when you don't know what to do, wouldn't waiting for God's leading be a whole lot better than going without the presence of God? What to do when you don't know what to do? Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait on the Lord. Let's pray together.